All right, well, my name is Lucas Gregory. I work with the Texas Water Resources Institute at Texas A&M, and I'm going to be talking about Carter's Creek watershed and what's going on down there. Whenever we get it pulled up on the screen, we can go ahead and get started. But just to, I guess, hit the highlights, basically Carter's Creek became impaired in 1999 for elevated bacteria. So just like a whole bunch of other water bodies out there, there's bacteria in the water. This is a rapidly urbanizing watershed. The cities of Bryan and College Station take up about two-thirds of that watershed, and it's growing daily, basically. So there's less and less natural area left in that watershed. The actual TMDL process began around 2007, and then it kind of got sidetracked for a little while, and we're just now getting the TMDL wrapped up and working on the I-plan. TCEQ is kind of taking a little bit different tact with TMDLs these days than they used to. Now they're wanting to do the TMDLs and the implementation plans simultaneously. So they're actually both being reviewed by TCEQ right now. So it's not the way they were done in the past, basically. So nobody really knows how it's going to work out, because I think this is the first one that's undergoing that process. So it's been a little bit longer review time, but we're getting there. So basically, what was found in through this TMDL, and I'll mention now that Larry Houck and the group at TIER did much of the work that went into the TMDL. They did the computer modeling, did the initial investigations, and actually developed the technical support document that TCEQ utilizes to develop those TMDLs. So they did that portion of the work, and then TWRI was brought in to develop the implementation plan. So that's how it kind of pans out. But the potential sources of bacteria in the watershed were identified as point sources, which were the wastewater treatment facilities. There's actually four wastewater treatment facilities in the watershed, and there's a couple other permitted dischargers, but they're like cooling plants and things like that that shouldn't technically be discharging any bacteria. But together, those four wastewater treatment plants are roughly 17.7 million gallons of water per day. Actually, they were nice to have last year because there were actually some water left in the creek during the drought. Otherwise, those two creeks would have been bone dry. The wastewater treatment facilities are there. Also, there are five individual MS4s. There's Texas A&M, TxDOT, Brazos County, and then the City of Bryan, City of College Station. They each have individual stormwater permits. And then, of course, your typical non-point sources of pollution are there as well. Failing septic systems, feral animals, everybody's favorites. Of course, the livestock, pets, and then the real wildlife that are actually out there. So basically, as I mentioned, TIER began with the water quality assessment and all the investigations into what's going on in the creek, and developed or began the process to develop that TMDL. They utilized the SWAT model, which is a big complex watershed model, to predict the flows for that stream, because there's no USGS gauging stations or anything like that on that creek. So we only had flow data at a good handful of points in time, basically. So SWAT model was utilized to get a good estimation of flow over the period of record. And using that information, they developed load duration curves for that watershed. And then through that, they produced the technical support document, which TCEQ is now or has utilized to develop the TMDL. And the I-plan development came along, and that's where I come into the picture. TWRI was contracted, I guess, at the beginning of, I guess, fiscal year 11, so August 2010, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And what we did was basically sit down with the local stakeholders. The stakeholders have been involved in the actual TMDL development process before that, but we sat down with those people that were engaged and said, all right, what are the key problem areas or the key focus areas that we need to hone in on here? And basically what we came up with was four work groups, one being the Ag and Natural Resources, which dealt with, of course, ag interests, and then wildlife, basically anything outside the urban area is what it really boiled down to. The Planning and Development Group, that one focused more on I guess, looking at ways to mitigate future development and redevelopment within the city or the cities, and planning in such a way that it doesn't have adverse impacts on water quality down the line. The Stormwater and Transportation, Mainly dealt with the MS4s because those are the big, basically they have the big infrastructure in the watershed that produces all that stormwater. And then the wastewater work group dealt naturally with wastewater. And we lumped the septic systems in with the wastewater group as well. So basically, each of these four work groups came up with a set of management measures from within that work group. And those were basically the strategies that got rolled into the overall TMDL I-plan at the end of the day. So the actual solutions that these work groups came up with were six individual management measures and then two control actions. The management measures were to, one, just to coordinate and expand the existing water quality monitoring that was going on in the watershed. They're honestly, just like many other watersheds out there, there's not a whole lot of data available to do a water body assessment on. At most, it was quarterly data collected at a handful of points. I think there's, over time, has been five different sample stations in the watershed, but they've all been monitored for like this point in time, and then the next one was this point in time. And so it was all discontinuous and very disjointed data set that was available to develop the TMDL and to base the I-plan off of. So kind of a not a great picture of the watershed, if you will. So the stakeholders, that was a pretty much a consistent theme from across all four of those work groups, was that more data needs to be collected, and of the data that is collected, we need to coordinate it so it's collected on similar days so we can compare apples to apples instead of apples to zucchinis or whatever. So that was the first and foremost management measure. The next one, which is kind of a long shot, but still a decent idea nonetheless, was to take a look at the tax valuation requirements for those lands in the watershed that get an agricultural valuation. So if you've got cows on your place, you get a tax break, basically. So take a look at basically work with the appraisal district to see if there's any room for adjusting those requirements to maybe improve water quality. Now, this, like I said, this is kind of a long shot, and we really don't know if it's going to work or not, but I'm going to put some effort into it and see if there's any room for adjustment there. So we'll have to report back on how that one actually works out a little bit later on down the line. The next one was to inspect and identify the septic systems in the watershed. Those that are within the city limits got a pretty good handle on where they are, at least, maybe not how old they are or if they're working properly, but at least we know where they are. Those outside of the city limits, so the other third of the watershed, really not much record on those, especially those systems that were put in pre-1989, whenever the state rules and regulations came down. So that's pretty much another across-the-board need from all the work groups to say, look, we need to really focus in and see what's going on with these septic systems. So that's another big issue. And then also they realize that providing education to those septic system owners is also a critical need there as well. The fourth bullet is to implement the SSO initiatives, and what that is are sanitary sewer overflows. And the city of Bryan currently has one in place. City of College Station is working on one. Is that right, Fred? Or do y'all have it in place yet?
We were, and I failed to update you on that. I didn't think about it, but we recently dropped our effort back to talking to TCEQ.
Okay.
We're going to do the management practices. Okay. As part of our operation and maintenance, but actually putting a formal SSO plan for forward with TCEQ, the plan, the initiative just actually didn't match our conditions. So.
Okay. Well, I don't think it'll affect what I'm presenting here, at least. So, but nonetheless, the SSO initiatives are basically an organized effort to minimize and prevent future sanitary sewer overflows. So if there are problem areas within the system, work to identify those areas and then rectify the problems, basically, to prevent any future overflows of the sewer system. The next bullet point there is the voluntarily implement ag BMPs. Now, ag in this watershed is slowly getting pushed out the door. Back in early days of the Bryan College Station area, there used to be some big farms and ranches in that neck of the woods, but now it's a lot of your smaller ranchettes and things like that, and even those are getting sold off and busted up into basically large lots, maybe 1-2 acre lots and things like that. So ag is slowly being shoved out the door, but it's still going to be there for a while in some shape, form, or fashion. So basically working with NRCS and the State Soil and Water Conservation Board, we'll work with those landowners to try and implement some of those best management practices that we know are good for water quality, especially the bacteria portion. And then the last is to promote the sound development practices in the watershed. So maybe do a little bit more like beefed up ordinances and guidelines for development that is going on in the area, or redevelopment as well. Then the two control actions are actually pretty straightforward. All five of those MS4 permit holders, they have their phase two stormwater management plans. So actually implementing those plans as they're written is one of the control actions. And then the next is to continue monitoring the wastewater treatment plant effluent as prescribed within each of those individual permits. So those two are pretty much no-brainers, but it still is good to document those in the I plan. So really what I wanted to do today is update on y'all on where we are in this whole process. And this is going to be a pretty quick update. Just to step back a few months in time, the final draft of the TMDL document was submitted to TCEQ's TMDL team in August of 2011. I received their initial set of comments in first part of October of 2011 and worked with the work groups and the local stakeholders to address those comments and make sure that we addressed those comments appropriately and everybody was happy with the outcomes. Then sent those back, I guess, towards the end of the month. And then between then and now, there's just been some minor wordsmithing go on. Where basically one of the TMDL guys calls me up and says, "Hey, is it okay if we change the word 'the' to 'that'?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine, as long as it doesn't change the meaning of anything and all that good stuff." So that's really all that's been going on here lately. We are trying to get a public comment meeting set up, and May 17th is the day that we're looking at, that's one that TCEQ picked out. And the only reason it's still tentative at this point is that it has to be approved by the commissioners at the April 11th meeting. So still got a couple weeks until we can actually solidify that date, but that's what it's looking like now. And that will be an evening meeting, 6 to 8 or 6:30 to 8:30, somewhere in that time frame, where TCEQ staff will be on site to answer questions and receive comments and things like that. And there will be a public comment period where people can submit written comments as well. So once all that gets set in stone and that comment period gets defined, we'll let y'all know, and y'all can take a gander at that thing, or the TMDL and the TMDL I plan, and provide comments on either of those documents or both. So where do we go from there? We were trying to put the cart before the horse with this process, and started thinking about this last year, and actually submitted a 319 proposal to TCEQ to start implementing portions of this I plan. And as luck would have it, they selected this one for funding. So it's currently undergoing the review process right now with TCEQ and EPA. And what this proposal really focuses in on is the management measure one, which is that expand and coordinate the existing monitoring in the watershed. So I'm going to focus in on a bit more of what that includes here in just a minute. But basically, we're going to look to institute a fair bit more water quality monitoring in the watershed, both in number of sites and number of frequency of samples as well. And then also do a watershed bacteria source survey. This TMDL was, like I said, it took kind of a different tack than TMDLs have in the past, and the specific sources of pollution were not nailed down in this. Basically, the potential sources were identified, but there's not any spot in the TMDL that says 22% of your load comes from wild chickens and 12% comes from feral cats. You're not going to find anything like that in there. So basically, they just left it open-ended and says, all right, this is what the TMDL is, so this is the maximum amount of pollution that this water body can receive and still meet water quality standards. We realize it's just coming from all of these sources. Y'all go figure it out. So that's what we're doing, trying to figure it out. So as I said, this proposal is currently undergoing the review process, and we anticipate that it will be funded soon, but TCEQ did make the stipulation that they're not going to fund it until the commissioners actually approve the TMDL and the I plan. So when that actually will happen, your guess is as good as mine, but we're hoping that it will be sooner rather than later so we can go ahead and get started on this process. So Just to overview what this project or proposal currently has and who all is involved in it, I'm just going to present a bit of information and then I'll sit down and be quiet so we can wrap up. But basically, we worked with the local stakeholders to develop this process or this project, pulled in people from each of the work groups and sat down and said, all right, how do we want to craft this 319 proposal to get what y'all want out of this thing and move us on down the line to, one, help identify those sources and two, figure out what we need to do to fix the water quality problem here in these watersheds. So the way it got all put together was that TWRI, or me, basically coordinated the effort and worked with the various entities and groups and people there in the watershed to work all this out. So the way, once the project's funded, the way it will be going is that TWRI is leading the effort, and we're doing a fair bit of the work, probably two-thirds of the work on the project. We've also working with the Soil and Crop Sciences Department at Texas A&M to assist with the data collection and analysis. They have a NELAC-certified lab for bacteria there, so we're going to use them to do our bacteria analysis. And they've got a good crop of grad students there that are going to help with some manpower. So that will be a benefit. And then volunteer monitoring and will also be a big component of this. There's plenty of student organizations on campus that are focused on water resources and trying to get real-world experience. So I put my evil genius hat on and said, I need to tap into these resources and get them to come out and do some one water quality monitoring and then help do the watershed surveys as well. So that's going to be a pretty big component as well. And then, of course, all the local entities, the cities, the and the county and Texas A&M and TxDOT are all going to chip in as well. City of Bryan, City of College Station are going to play a pretty good role in this, I guess through their environmental services divisions or whatever their specific names are within each one, but they'll help out with actual data collection and then data analysis. Part of this is going to be doing some reconnaissance type monitoring that's not going to be used for water body assessments or anything like that, but used more to just kind of shed more light on what's going on out there. So some of those samples are going to be analyzed by the labs that the respective cities have. And then also they're going to help us out with some GIS support as well, providing information that they currently have pointing us in directions for developing new information as well. And then also the watershed survey development will be a big contribution on their part as well. Their people are out there a fair amount, and they know what's going on in their respective cities. So coordinating with them is a natural as well. And then Brazos County, A&M, and TxDOT will also assist with the GIS support as well. Each of these entities have basically GIS coverage of their respective areas, but they really don't talk to each other, so to speak. So through this process, we hope to be able to make a GIS that speaks to the whole watershed, not just one of the individual entities. Hopefully that's not a huge, huge, huge task, but we'll just have to wait and see. So by task, these are the individual tasks that we're going to include in there, and I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'm sure nobody wants to hear about quality assurance. That's everybody's favorite, I know, but we'll skip over that one. So really what I'm going to focus on are the watershed source survey, the routine and storm flow water quality monitoring, and the reconnaissance sampling, and then briefly touch on the stakeholder engagement. So the watershed source survey, what we're going to do there is utilize the existing data to the extent possible. So working with those entities there, amass the GIS coverages that they have, integrate them in together so they all speak to each other, and then go out and actually collect more on-the-ground data and incorporate into that GIS. So to collect the on-the-ground data, that's where the grad students and other volunteers are going to come into play. We're actually going to do some stream walks and actually just get out there and walk along the bank and see what's going on. So a lot of times you only see the creek from the road crossings, and there's a lot of creek in between there. And you never know what might be going on in those stretches of the river or the streams as well. And then on some of the more, I guess, the bigger parts of the stream, we're actually going to float in canoes. That's probably going to be a smaller effort. We're not going to have 40 canoes lined up out there going down the stream or anything. It'll just be one or two of us probably. or one or two canoes of folks doing that. And we hope to identify maybe some small discharges to the waterway if there's like a running stream of water coming in from some place, or maybe there's some bird rookeries in the more rural parts of the watershed, or bat colonies under the bridges, things like that. So those are the type things we're going to be looking for. And, of course, we'll be noting everything else as well. And to do that, we're going to have basically a GPS-enabled camera, so every time we find something of interest, snap a photo, and then we'll be able to incorporate that directly into the GIS. So at the end of the day, once we get the watershed, like the physical survey done, we'll step back, take a look at what all we found, and then look at the GIS information and say, all right, where do these things match up, where do they not match up, and what are the potential sources that are actually in the water, or contributing to the water quality problem here in the watershed based on these two sets of information. So we use that as basically a starting point for trying to better understand what's going on in the watershed. The next part is going to be the water quality monitoring. And the routine monitoring is going to be your typical standard water quality monitoring. This is going to be collected monthly at four sites, and this is just going to be doing the ambient water quality monitoring. So it'll be the first Monday of the month or something like that. We're not going to target any special flow situations or anything of that nature. And we're planning on continuing this data collection for 2 years. So we anticipate 96 samples, but if we get a drought like last year, you never know, might be less than that. And these data will be submitted to TCEQ and utilized in future water quality assessments. The parameters that will be collected, the field data, just the typical suite there, and then the lab data will be E. coli, of course, and we'll be utilizing the 1603 method for that as well. The stormwater monitoring, it'll be a reduced set of sampling locations. There'll be two locations that we're going to be looking at, and our goal is to have 10 storm events that we collect samples from. Hopefully we'll get more, but then again, if we have a drought like last year, might not even get 10. So I know I popped off at a public meeting one time and said, yeah, we're fixing to start this monitoring program, and now we're going to go into a drought. And that was about 2.5 years ago. And I got called on it at the last public meeting there, and I thought I might not make it out with my hide. But anyways, they calmed down, so it was all good. But anyways, these data, they will be submitted to TCEQ, but they're not going to be regulatory data. So they will not be used in any future water body assessments. This is more just informational type data that will help us understand better what's going on in the watershed. So it's going to be the same parameters collected. It'll be the same people doing the data collection and the analysis there. And then the reconnaissance monitoring. This is the one that's probably a bit different than what the bulk of water quality monitoring is in the state. This is where we're going to be using the volunteers to collect a lot of those data. We'll be using the Texas Stream Team protocol. I'm going to become, a trainer for the Stream Team. I'm going to go through their whole process and get certified, and then I'll be the local coordinator to train up the volunteers there in the Bryan-College Station area. And we'll be collecting samples monthly at 10 locations across the watershed. So hopefully we'll have enough volunteers where each, like two volunteers, can go to one site, do the data collection, turn the data in, and then go on about their day and get it done in a good short order. These data will be uploaded to the Stream Team's database, and then from there go to TCEQ and so forth and so on. These data will also not be used in future water quality assessments. Yet again, more informational type data that will basically give us a bigger picture of what's going on in the watershed. So maybe these are going to focus on some of the tributaries that are coming into the main stems of the creek and things like that. So it'll hopefully isolate some areas there. The data collected is going to be a little bit different suite of data. The field data will have the extra parameters are going to be the water transparency and the total depth, and then it'll be a flow velocity rather than a flow volume. But we're going to put in some, some stream discharge profiles so we can come in and develop a flow volume from that velocity. So we'll eventually get that data. And then the E. coli data is going to be using the IDEX method. These are going to be the samples that the city's actually processed for us, and that will be incorporated into the mix as well. And one thing that I don't mention on the slides, but that is pretty critical, is that the cities are going to coordinate their self-reported wastewater treatment plant data collections to coincide with these sampling events. So we'll have all of our routine samples being collected, all of these reconnaissance samples being collected, and the wastewater treatment plant samples being collected on the same days at relatively the same time, so we can get a good snapshot on what was going on in the whole watershed on this date and this time, rather than having these data collected on Monday and the wastewater plant data collected on Friday and something else collected on Wednesday of the next week. We're going to have them all stacked on the same day so we can get a good snapshot of that point in time specifically. So, mentioned all these water quality monitoring stations. These are actually the actual short descriptions of what they are and where they are, and I'm going to show you a map here after this. So, in total, 16 sampling stations that you see there. As mentioned, the four routine sites there at the top, two storm flows, and 10 reconnaissance monitoring sites. And there's also another little tidbit that I don't clearly point out in the slides, but you'll notice that some of these sampling stations overlap with each other. Like the routine water quality monitoring and the storm flow monitoring, two of those sites are the same, the Carter Creek at Bird Pond Road and Burton Creek at Highway 6. They're both monitored under both sets. And then also on the reconnaissance monitoring, we're going to have a couple sites there overlap as well. The Burton Creek at Highway 6 and, okay, maybe that's the only one. Only that one reconnaissance sampling overlap. And we did this intentionally because it's utilizing different methods to collect these data and assess these data or do the analysis. So we want to have at least one data set that overlaps so we can say, okay, even though these aren't exactly apples to apples comparison, we've got the data showing that they're within this tiny little window of each other, so it makes a good comparison between the two types of data that were collected. So, like I said, we did that intentionally just so we can say, all right, we really are looking at apples to apples or maybe oranges to tangerines or something like that. There's a very close relationship to each other. This is the map of the watershed showing where the sampling sites are, and this map has confused many people, so if you don't quite get it all to add up, don't worry about it. I had to look at it pretty hard myself, and it's probably because I built this map and I'm not the best map maker in the world, but nonetheless, we've got the different types of monitoring sites documented here using the various colors. Let me try this one. There we go. Okay, the routine monitoring sites are documented in red, and you remember we had four of these sites, but you only see two red dots, one down here in the lower part of the watershed, and one right here at the confluence of Burton Creek and Carter Creek. So where are the other two points? They're hidden underneath these purple circles because if you remember, we had the routine monitoring sites, the storm flow monitoring sites, and one of the reconnaissance sites all overlap with each other. So that purple circle is gonna be right here at Burton Creek at Highway 6. So that one site's gonna be, we're gonna monitor the heck out of that one. So we ought to know what's going on there. And then the other one, is the other duplicated routine and storm flow site, which is down here on the main stem of Carter Creek. And then the other boxes are, of course, the reconnaissance monitoring, and they're denoted by the orange squares there. So you'll see that those get off of the main stems and kind of look at some of the tributaries there to give us a better idea of what's going on across the watershed. So I really kind of mentioned this already, with the data collection overlap, and I won't go into this anymore, but I will say that we're going to work with BRA's monitoring team and try to coordinate so that our monitoring collection occurs on the same days as their CRP monitoring occurs. So we'll be talking to all y'all about doing that and getting those two monitoring regimes to line up with each other. And then also this will be, of course, incorporated into the coordinated monitoring schedule as well. So to utilize all this information that we're going to have available to us, basically we're looking for this to provide a better picture of what's going on in the watershed. And really what we're going to do is look at all these types of data that we're collecting and do a good comparative analysis and see what's going on with the water quality across the water body. And then incorporating the information we gained from the GIS survey and the watershed survey, match that up with the water quality data and say, all right, did these two sets of data make sense? Are they telling us the same thing? And if they are, what are they telling us? And then how do we go and fix that? And then if they're not telling us the same thing, we know, all right, there's something else at play here. we're going to have to take, I guess, an even closer look to figure out what's going on. But ultimately, all this information is going to be fed back to the local stakeholders for them to make good informed decisions about how best to manage the watershed in the future and direct that implementation. So the next steps basically are that we hurry up and wait for the TMDL review process and approval process to be completed. And then upon the approval of the TMDL and the TMDL I plan, this project will actually get kicked off. We're hoping that it happens sometime around the first of the year, but like I said, with it being a review process, you just actually never know when it's going to happen. But when it does, we'll get going, and then, of course, all the fun will begin then when we actually get to develop the QAPP for this thing. And then the hope is that we'll begin monitoring within 6 months of the contract actually being initiated. And then we're going to have semi-annual stakeholder meetings throughout the process, so I'm sure y'all will be seeing some emails, whether you want them or not, and that way y'all can at least be aware of what's going on down there and come and join us if you wish. And that's it. So any questions? Not? Thank you all very much.